you've got to get out of your own way a lot of the time, and that's been a big challenge, I think.
So this journey has actually been quite a massive trajectory for me. From being sort of reliant on word of mouth, I guess, in the beginning, or other people, to actually try and market. And I am at the very beginning, and so it's sort of like I've got a lot to learn. So
I've been quite emotional training this time, because I can picture the moments when I see my friends and family along the way.
Welcome back to Psychologically Speaking. I'm your host and psychologist, Leela, and I'm asking the question, what happens when you start work on your goals? I caught up with more of our wonderful goal setters to find out what they did next. From stepping through metaphorical cupboards, picking up the pace, and exhibiting on a grand scale, I know these conversations will resonate in so many ways. So let's get into it. So we have Darren, we have Hannah, and we have Jen. And if you remember, Jen is a yoga teacher. Hannah runs the best 90 days ever marketing. And Darren is an illustrator. Hello, everybody. It's welcome back. And it's great to have you here.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello.
Hannah, I'm just going to dive straight in because I am so excited to hear about where all of your goals have got to. Do you want to remind us what your two main goals are, and then let us know what you're most excited to chat about today?
Okay. Yeah. So I had two big goals. And last time we spoke, I said one of them I don't think I can achieve and one of them I do. So I wanted to get 300 members in my membership, The Best 90 Days Ever. And I had my best launch I've ever had for this December one. So I'm now at 231. So it was 170. So that's quite a big jump, actually. Yeah. And then my other goal, the one that I don't think I can achieve, is I want to get a sub 5-hour marathon time, which would mean taking 43 minutes off my last marathon time. So, yeah. And that is also coming along quite well, I think.
We can absolutely do that, Hannah.
Thank you. We shall see.
I think you need to believe that you can do it. I'm quite excited to like speak to you one day and you're like, this is the goal I can do.
Yeah, definitely.
That'd be good. And can I just say that I am one of those new members in your membership.
Oh,
and it's such a great space. So well done. I don't know how you do it. It's so organized, obviously.
I just love it. I love the group. And even now, as it's growing, I'm like, yeah, this is the thing that I want to do. So that's been a really nice kind of reassurance.
So tell us about the goal that you think you may not achieve, and that's the running. We talked about this thing around you're really good with community. I said, well, why don't you create your own running community or join a group?
Yeah, so I did actually go to one running group session and it was really good, and I will go again to more. I think, as we were just talking about, the rain has been so bad recently. And so I'm trying to fit in my runs around the rain. And as I was just saying to you, I've got a bit of a cold this week, which is why my voice sounds like this. And so it's fitting in the runs around that as well. But it was such a nice group, and there was different paces, and they kind of said no one's getting left behind. So yeah, I definitely felt like I would go back to that again. I think the main thing for me is that, I don't know if you saw my email about this, but I was getting a bit frustrated with myself because I was like, I'm doing everything right, I think. I'm doing all of the training. I'm following the plan that this app has set. You know, I'm like doing the runs, eating the food, and I wasn't getting any quicker. And then I just thought to myself, have I actually tried running quicker? I'm just running at this like safe pace that I know I'm comfortable with. So I basically went out for a run the next day, ran as fast as I could, and I got a PB, like the most PB of PBs I've ever got. And I just suddenly realized that, like, to be able to have a quicker time, I'm going to have to run faster. And it was really like, it kind of really hit home then that actually I'm going to have to get out of that safe space of being the slow runner. And yeah, it was really interesting. And I text my next door neighbour because we've been running together, and he said, where have you been hiding that? I was like, I don't know.
Do you track your runs?
So I use the Runner app.
Right, okay.
Yeah, well, and it's given me a plan.
One of the things I really use is the relative effort number. Rather than measuring your pace, whether you've run the same route faster this time than you did last time, if you're finding you're running at the same pace, a really good indicator to look at is that relative effort stat.
Yeah.
And you'll see that the fitter you get, the lower that number will become. So you'll know that, you know, if I'm going out and doing a 7K run this afternoon, I did the same 7K run earlier on this week. If I get a relative effort score of, 35 versus, 42 last week, then I know I'm getting better, I'm improving, even if I'm not going faster.
What's your heart rate?
Yeah, so I wear an Apple Watch. Okay. Yeah. So it'll be linked to your heart rate and your cadence and all of those things. There's really clever algorithmic magic that goes into to produce those numbers. But I find, they're only a guide like anything is, but yeah. I find that really, really useful.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I'm going to definitely have a look at that. And I am noticing that it will have like easy run and it will say, it'll basically say, do not go faster than this pace. And then I look at it after because I keep losing. I've got two watches and I keep losing them. And I look at it after and I've gone way quicker than the easy pace. And it will tell me off. It will say, Hannah, we told you to go at an easy pace. There's a reason for that. So even just noticing that my easy runs are faster now, that has been really good.
And psychologically, this is really interesting because what running forces you to do is to confront this reality, which is we expect that whatever effort we put into something, perceived effort, we expect the same return back. And I spoke a few weeks ago about this idea of conservation of resources, and it's all linked into the way culturally we're like, if you work hard, you get good things. With running, it's it helps you unlearn some of that. It helps you learn that soft and steady sometimes is the acceleration that you need. But also, interesting there, Hannah, it may be that genuinely you weren't running previously at the capacity you were capable of. So maybe your baseline has shifted and that would be worth exploring, because if you are continually going faster than your training plan says and it feels easy, then that's a baseline shift rather than you not sticking to the plan. So, you know, there is so much nuance. There's so much science, obviously, in running, and it has to be enjoyable. So I suppose the overall question is, are you enjoying your running at the moment?
Yeah, I am actually. And this week I've missed it because I did one earlier this week and I really need to get in another one. And then I've got my long run tomorrow, which is 17K. And I'm looking forward to that. I love going out with my neighbour because we do go at like a conversational pace and we just gossip the whole time and it's so fun. And we'll come back and be like, whoa, we've just done 10K and not even kind of realised it. So yeah, it's been really good. And I think the other thing that I'm noticing is that I don't think I've been fueling myself enough. And when I do fuel myself properly, it is better. And it's like unlearning a lot of that stuff around, you know, carbs are bad and all of this. And actually reminding myself, I need to eat that stuff. Yeah. I need to eat to be able to achieve my goals of running this time that I want to run. And that has been really nice as well. So, yeah, I am enjoying it.
The hydration was the biggest thing for me. So different people use different amounts of water when they're running. I found that taking a salt or hydration tablet before bed really helped me for my long run days because I was struggling to get that into me as I was running. So you learn different things about your body that you never knew before as well.
Yeah.
It's that whole thing of what works for you is really unique as well. And I'm just going to echo something that Jen said in a yoga session yesterday, which is everybody's bodies are different and you have to go at your own pace. Might be fitting to actually come to Jen now, because Jen, when we spoke, I think you were one of the first goal setting interviews that we did on the podcast. Do you want to just remind us a little bit about where your goal was coming from and what it was that you wanted to achieve?
I think that personally my goal or goals have come from it's sort of like a deep place of insecurity. I think that my goals have sort of changed and sort of flowed. And I think that one of the things that's really interesting is that you were saying about momentum rather than being fixated on a final goal. Obviously, that's important because you've got to have a general direction to go in. But I think that that's been quite important for me. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I think that for me, it was a case of that I needed to carve time. I think I was being very unrealistic. I think in the past I've been quite fortuitous in the fact that I've almost been gifted classes. So I've never had to really have that business sense. I found it very conflictory in terms of what I'm trying to do versus the business world. And we had a conversation about that as well. And I think I'm starting to sort of navigate now in terms of all of the beautiful posts that you guys have put on and following other people and sort of not being so intense on looking at what other people are doing in yoga, but actually wider. And I've realized that it's what I've kind of missed, an essential ingredient that was probably staring me right in the face, was the fact to do with connection. So it's like you'll do a post and other people do a post when you're out running and things like that. And I'm like, oh, hi, good morning. And it's sort of like really lovely. And I just wasn't doing that. So I was almost like magically expecting people to find me. And I know that probably sounds ridiculous to everybody else, but if it helps one person out there, I am the least techie person out there. I am literally like Bridget Jones. to the point where this week I've had, this is a slight digression, but this week I you know, I'm on Substack now, which is like momentous for me. I'm like dark ages. And yeah, I ended up, my query has been escalated to the bug team because for some reason my email attributed to a different account. I don't know how it's happened or whatever else it is, but trust me, if it's, you know, techie orientated, I can manage to twist it in a really strange way that no one else has done without even realizing that I've done it. So again, sort of trying to do things with social media or whatever else, it's quite comical for me, and it's pushing me out of my comfort zone. So yeah, I've kind of taken off the rose tinted glasses, I suppose, and actually thought, yes, this is what I need to do. So increase a path of visibility. And again, even in the first session, I think I went on my PC and I had my headphones on, but I haven't got a camera on my PC. It's like old school. I could have got the laptop out, whereas now I've just used my phone. So yes, that's kind of essentially me. So it's like doing little things like a newsletter or things like that. Whereas before I was like, will people read it? But actually I have had a response, and the top sort of like on Instagram was a video of me talking. And I know it probably sounds really basic, but actually it's been sort of huge for me. So yeah, I'm at the very beginning.
I love it. And I know how wonderful you are. I know how inspirational you are as well in holding space for people. And it's just so lovely that you're sharing that much wider and other people get to see it. It's just been so great to see you popping up on Instagram and over on Substack and you know, getting the confidence to do some of those things can be really momentous if you're not used to doing it. I see Hannah nodding. She's like the, you know, an expert in getting people out of that kind of space of who am I to do this? Why should I put myself out there? And, you know, I think a lot of people will relate to what you're saying right now, for sure. So tell me a little bit about what's been taking place within your practice and within your groups. Have they shifted or changed at all?
Yeah, so thank you. I've been reaching out more, I think. So asking for feedback, again, with your advice, which has been amazing. So you put across to ask people what has changed for you in terms of coming to my class. And that was key because I didn't really know how to, unless I was going to create this marvelous perfectionist questionnaire about, can you tell me about this, 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 and this? And I was thinking, yeah, people aren't going to really have time for that, Jen. So I think we need to like pare it down. So I would say that, you know, feeding back what you're really good at is really getting into the sort of nitty gritty. And so it was sort of like, and I got responses from that, which I've then used on sort of like Instagram and like, why should you come to my classes? Because yoga is a massive umbrella. So it's sort of like you go to one teacher, they will give you one thing, which is beautiful. You go to another teacher. And so sometimes, again, when people walk away, you don't have a clue what they think. I guess it's the same in everyone else's world. They just walk away. You've got no feedback. So this journey has actually been quite a massive trajectory for me. From being sort of reliant on word of mouth, I guess, in the beginning, or other people, to actually try and market. And I am at the very beginning. And so it's sort of like I've got a lot to learn. So like I said, I am literally Bridget Jones when it comes to tech. So it's sort of like in person, trying to break into that world. It's like a whole new magical doorway to Narnia, to be quite honest. It's sort of like I'm going through the coats and I'm not quite sure where I'm at.
Was that image?
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, in real life, that's where I'm getting most of the connections, reconnecting. Online, I'm just building, really, I guess, to try and reach and see what occurs. So I know what I've got to do. I've got to put more uncomfortable sort of videos of myself out there. I don't know what the difference is between being in person and presenting. I'm absolutely fine with that. The actual videoing of oneself doing things just seems more, I don't know, uncomfortable, cringy, whatever you want to say about it. It just gives me like the ick, if I'm honest. Whereas in person, I'll be like, yeah, I'll go for days. Whereas actually the thought of actually, you know, doing that, I don't know what that is, but yeah, it's...
Interestingly, obviously a big part of Hannah's retreat last year was going for the sole purpose of recording some what we call B-roll footage of us doing or looking thoughtful, me looking like a psychologist, whatever that looks like. Turns out it looks like me sitting somewhere and looking a bit studious. And I went and genuinely I felt frozen, and it took me seeing other people doing it, Jen, for me to kind of go, oh, this isn't weird. I am not somebody who finds it easy or comfortable, but I'm going to hand over because Hannah has the best advice around this type of stuff.
The thing is that it is weird. It is strange. Like the way that we record ourselves now and doing, like when I film myself drinking a cup of tea, it is weird to put that online, but I just tell myself I'm not making this for a laugh. Like, I'm not filming these reels for a laugh. I do them because they directly impact my business. And when you change to that mindset, I think you kind of just put everything else to the side and think, I know what I'm doing this for. I'm doing this because I want to reach more people. I want more people in my classes. This is one of the best ways to do it. And yeah, and it just gets easier. And I thought it was really interesting what you were saying at the start about momentum, because with a lot of marketing, there is such a big hump at the start with the technology side of things. So like setting up the Substack or learning how to film yourself. And it will just get so much easier after that, because you've done that really hard bit now. You've done the first video. You've set up the technology, even if it isn't quite connected at the moment. But you've done that hard bit and it will just get easier and the momentum will go so quickly after that. And I used to, if I was doing an Instagram story, I would maybe do 10 goes before I got it right. Now you can put a camera in front of me anytime and I would stand there and talk for 10 minutes without thinking about it. So yeah, it just gets easier with practice. And I think people want to see you, they want to hear from you, and it's the best way to do it. We're so lucky to have all these opportunities to promote our businesses.
Do you do it every day, Hannah?
No, probably not. In some format, I show up online, so every single day, I would say, but not necessarily.
I've got sweaty palms just off the back of having this conversation about... off on camera. Yeah, it's really anxiety inducing for me, which is, I don't really get it, because I've been showing up a little bit more often. All the reactions are really good. And I thought, well, if I do it once I've done it once, it'll be fine. But it's not. Like, it's because I dip in and out of it. I have a kind of marketing sales kind of week, and then I go into more of a production week, and I haven't figured out how to kind of run both tracks at the same time, really.
I wonder if some of it, though, is You know, we're very tuned into our own physiology to look for the minutest of yeah. things that feel disconcerting. And it's this incongruence, isn't it? So yeah. when you're looking back at something you're doing, you're looking for things that are wrong. But knowing that 99% of the people who are scrolling on the internet don't know you in real life, so they're not looking for incongruence, they're just looking for something that feels familiar. And they might be going, oh, I know what I thought when I saw your stuff. It's like, oh, you've got such a cool studio that you work on. And I'm not looking for mistakes when I look at people's things. I'm looking, going, oh, I really like the mug they've got, or I love, oh wow, they like fresh coffee, I like fresh coffee. There's a social comparison thing that we do, which is that we're looking for comparison rather than difference most of the time. So maybe that just gives you a different perspective.
I find it quite difficult to switch modes. Like if I'm in a kind of a hands-on, like production mode, if I'm drawing stuff, yes, you can do that for a couple of hours, but I find it really difficult. It's quite labor intensive, but I find it really difficult to switch into like a social, like performative moment, I suppose, after that.
That is why batching works. Like, it, say you give yourself half an hour to do face to camera videos, I would find that by the end ones are the ones I'm going to use because I've warmed up, and I might film one that's a minute long, and then I think, well, actually, I might rephrase that slightly now that I've said it out loud and just film it again. So it's the same thing of like, give yourself a chance to warm up to that as well.
Yeah. What I did last week, which is such a super obvious error now looking back, is I did a whole week and I produced 3 or 4 reels last week, and they were all good. And I was so excited. I put them all out in the week. Oh. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's kind of basic stuff, really, isn't it?
It's even there that you're like, I made an error. But the frame on that is, I learned something last week.
Yeah.
You know, that your self criticism.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. Criticism. So let's go there, Darren. Do you want to just remind us a little bit around what was the impetus behind the goals that you were setting yourself?
Well, our conversation was geared around two different things, wasn't it? It's the kind of growth of the business and from a personal point of view, and also the opportunity to potentially bring other people in as well.
Yeah. You told us a story last time about some cold outreach you were trying to do to get into a community, right? Emailed me and said, actually, this has happened. So do you want to just tell us what the outcome was there in the end?
The story was, this is a person who is like a founder of a big brokerage that I thought, if I can get in there, then, you know, changes the game completely. We set up a call, the call didn't happen. I kept trying to reschedule the call, couldn't get any traction. So I picked the phone up and thought, you know what, I'm going to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm just going to call her. And what happened was, she did not like it. She said that she felt like she was being pestered. And I, being the sensitive soul that I am, said, oh, I'm ever so sorry, put the phone down, and then didn't speak to her for a year. And thought, well, that's terrible. I'm a terrible person, et cetera, et cetera. So I did try and reach back out to her, and I connected with her on LinkedIn, and I sent her a message because she accepted my connection request, which I was kind of surprised at. So I sent her a message, and she sent me a message back saying, do you want to send me an idea of prices and turnaround times? So I sent her that, and that's the end. So She's never come back to me, but I don't know this, but I get the impression she doesn't think I'm a horrible person anymore, which was the story I was telling myself. And actually, I'm doing work with that brokerage in different ways anyway. She doesn't hold the keys to the kingdom in the way that I've been telling myself before. So I've loosened that, you know, massively. I'm quite proud of myself, I think, in terms of how I've managed to reconcile that in my head, even though it's taken me about 18 months to do it, which is somewhat ridiculous. But
is it really though? Because, you know, that that hit quite a sensitive part for you, that connection's important, community's important to you, sense of place. You knew that you wanted to be in a certain place and this person was a perceived gatekeeper.
And I think that was a good kind of signal of where, you know, where some of the issues in my head live. And but anyway, I think that was one of the goals?
I think it was. One of them was to kind of almost put it to bed, or to find different ways to work with that community. So,
achieved as far as that's concerned. The other goal was to continue to build the B2B momentum. I sell my illustrations in bundles to agents to get one of the agents already in those bundles to sign up for a second one. I did that. So they landed just before Christmas, which is great. We're on like number 28 or something like that with him now. He's bought a second bundle of 10, which is amazing, a real sort of signal that we're going in the right way. Future collaboration with an additional artist. So I've not made a lot of progress on that. I'm still bookmarking interesting people, and I'm starting to engage with one or two other illustrators, commenting on their posts and just trying to slowly build stuff. I'm not.
So what direction of travel are you heading in? Where are you going next?
Well, there's five goals, and they all tick sort of different boxes. So the big kind of anchor goal for the year is for me to produce 100 portraits this year. So
I love this goal.
So super specific.
Yeah.
Pretty achievable, really. I think I did about, I can't remember exactly, but 70 something last year.
Mm-hmm.
100 portraits is 8 or 9 a month or something like that. Really, I've done 4 this week, but 100 portraits is the goal. And that's a really, that's something I can kind of commentate on throughout my social media. And that's what I've found useful this year, particularly in stories and things like that. This is number X, so people can keep track, and that feeds into another of the goals, which is to send at least one newsletter every month. So I've had a newsletter for, I don't know, 2-3 years. I've been really sporadic with it. I've not found a kind of proper home for it. I found that so hard to do. And I think it's because I'm not really doing anything with the newsletter that's kind of unique or different. It's just regurgitated social posts, really.
And so a question I would kind of pose back there is, does it have to be unique? Does it have to be different?
I think for me it does, because otherwise I don't do it, because it's like, well, I've already done all of that. Like, I don't mean... So anyway, the newsletter I've decided is that's the home of the 100 portrait goal.
I like that, yes.
And I'll choose one of the portraits and I'll sort of dig a bit deeper into it. So you'll get to see some nice visuals, and you'll get to hear the story behind one of these portraits that I've done this month.
See, that really appeals. That really appeals to me, because the thing that I love about your work is just that sense of place and the people behind the brickwork. So being able to like hear a little bit about them, I would open that newsletter if you sent that out monthly. I'd be like, oh, what am I hearing about this tweet? Yeah. Who lives behind that house?
Could you do it more than once a month? Just as like a challenge? Because, I mean, I would recommend a weekly
challenge
one.
In and of itself. But yeah, I definitely could do. I mean, I could do it once a week. But again, it's bandwidth and spreading yourself too thinly. So ask me again in a few months' time. I've only done one. I've got, it's on my list of things to do next week is to get it out. But the one that I sent in January, I got 2 commissions off the back of it, and that has never happened.
There's your reason.
Exactly.
There's your purpose for sending that out more regularly.
Another really sort of surface level challenge is to build on my Google reviews. I've committed to try and get that to 20. I'd said by the end of Q1. I don't know that I'm going to hit that goal. It's made me put a process in place to actually reach out and ask people for them now.
It's a really important thing to remember to do. And I'm going to share something with you. But last night, somebody said to me, how do I do a review of your podcast? And I said, oh God, I actually don't know, because I think on one of the platforms you can write one and the other one you just give stars. So I had to go and double check, and it's Apple that you can write a review and Spotify you can give stars or something. And I went onto the Apple one and someone had left me a review 4 months ago and I hadn't even noticed. Yeah. And the reason for that is that my podcast has been set up by somebody else. So I don't know if they get the notifications. So that is a really good kind of thing to remember, that people will occasionally leave the reviews, but often you do have to ask for them. Yeah. And I very rarely ask people to review my podcast, and I should be doing it all the time. So right now I'm going to say, if you're listening and you would do my podcast, please do that. It's dead easy. But yeah, we do need to ask.
It's a credibility thing, isn't it? I think, you know, particularly, you know, if you're asking people to spend, you know, a decent amount of money, you know, and number four is to continue these community posts that I've been doing, or community portraits that I've been doing. So I live in East Leeds, a part of East Leeds called Portraits. Last year I did a kind of test piece where I put a call out on a local Facebook group. I've carved some time out. Let's celebrate somewhere local. I asked for people to vote for their favourite independent shop, and I did a portrait for a florist called Arts and Flowers that's been on the high street for 50-something years.
I saw that. It was amazing.
It went down really, really well on short movie. And that was so cool. So I reached out to the admin of the group late last year and said, look, that went really well. How about we do this a bit more like structured? Can we do one like every quarter? And she's like, oh yeah, that sounds amazing. So she's on board.
You know how we were talking last year about a key for you in developing business and strength and resilience would be about collaboration. And rather than it being with other creatives, the collaboration you're doing there is amazing. One, it's giving you a sense of purpose. It's giving you wider platform. And it sounds like you get something from it that is really...
Oh, I've loved it. Yeah. I've really enjoyed doing it because it feels like the responses I've been getting are great. Because you know what these Facebook groups like. It's always like... And actually off the back of that for Arts and Flowers, another two commissioners came in. So I went... After I dropped the print off at Arts and Flowers, it was like 2 p.m. and I was starving. I nipped over to the chip shop over the other side of the road, and George, the owner of the chip shop, goes, oh, are you the guy that draws the places? I was like, oh, yeah, I am. He goes, oh, will you do mine? Will you do us? So, yeah, I've just joined the chip shop at the end of the year. So it's like these things, you know, these things snowball. So that brings me on to my stretch goal, I suppose. We have the home of the Crossgate Centre, which was actually, this is a bit of pointless trivia for you, but it was the first American-style mall constructed in the UK. There are some nice businesses in there, but there's also loads of vacant units. And it occurred to me, I was like, well, off the back of this commission I'd done for Oceans, the chip shop, and he wanted it big. It's 50 by 50. Seeing my work at that scale was really cool. And then I was like, well, actually, I've got a collection of these now. So imagine them all at this size, all in the same space. But like, I'm thinking, oh, that's like a gallery. Like, that's an exhibition. And then, you know, there are all these vacant units with really nice white walls. I wonder if I could get a temporary exhibition in there for a week or two.
And I was just thinking, could you contact your local council and say, do you need a backdrop that's actually based on local businesses? Because you can do something. But I love the gallery idea.
I just thought, well, there's nothing going on there. And actually, their raison d'etre is to bring people into the centre, right? And and create interest. And we're celebrating.
Can I also jump on the back of that, Darren, and say, I've seen recently on some YouTube videos to do with American malls. And what they're actually doing is, so you guys like running, so what they're actually doing is they're actually turning sort of empty malls, and they're putting up sort of like flip charts around malls, and they're doing sort of like run around the malls, do you steps around the malls to use the space because no one's going in there, and they are doing sort of like little, almost like do 50 squats here or whatever else it is. So you could have a flip chart in front of it and go, which artwork is your favorite, or that kind of thing. But you, so you could like be getting footfall as well as promoting your art plus the community. And it ticks so many boxes. So I don't know if that, because you guys like your running. So I don't know whether you could kind of incorporate the two to make sure you get that footfall coming through. Sort of do two events.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's see what they say. But you would imagine, you know, the units look really kind of, well, they're empty and vacant. They're not attractive. So, you know, give me 2 weeks. Let me hang some of my work in there for a couple of weeks. And then, you know, what have you got to lose kind of thing. Yeah.
He's getting in there.
And one of my, so yeah, that's an exciting one. But then the final one, I want to start my own podcast.
Do it.
I want to start the Ace of Place podcast, and it will be about buildings and places, what they mean on a kind of deeper level, I suppose. I need to, why do these buildings matter to us? What is it that makes them important? Deeper into the, because really it's not the bricks and mortar that we're talking about. It's the things we do inside these buildings. That's why they become important, is because they're symbolic of all of that, not necessarily because that's the kind of conversations I want to get into. So I've got a list, and actually you would be on my list, Lila, because I think from a psychologist's point of view, right, you would have such an interesting angle on it.
There's so much you can say about place and space and society and community. I wholeheartedly recommend doing a podcast, but you know what I recommend as well is not over planning it and just getting started, because you learn so much in your first 6 episodes. It's been wonderful to hear about your progress, and the thing that's just shining through for me is your enthusiasm. And also the momentum that I think has come off the back of closing some loops on some things. I'm still hearing the self-criticism in there. And I think you know that that's where the work is happening in the background. Moving yourself out of just doing one portrait for one cost and then scaling and making that bigger. I think you've really done a lot of deep thinking on that. I'd love to get you back in a few months and just kind of see where you're moving and how it's going. Jen, it was so interesting to hear you talking really about how you feel like you've got over this, or you're kind of like reaching the peak of this big hump at the start. And it's very interesting to see then how you kind of settle and keep moving through changes into the rest of the year. And something that I was just reflecting on is that things can feel really big at the start, and then you do it and you're like, oh, actually, I've got the hang of this now. But I don't know whether Hannah will resonate with this. I usually get to that point and I'm like, how can I make this harder again? And I think that for me, when we're talking about goals, is why I say, look at the general direction you're heading in rather than trying to plan every single step, because you've got to leave space for these changes and for the fact that you're going to have new ideas that are going to come out of nowhere, but they're going to be exactly the right idea at the right time and in the right place. And why not set up an art gallery? You know, why not rechange your running goals and go even faster? I mean, 40 minutes, Hannah, can we shave off an hour? You know, you never
steady up.
Can I just give a shout out, because the Winter Olympics in Milan start today. So if you guys are very sporty as well, you're looking for some inspiration, motivation, then you might find your favorite athlete in there that gives you some inspiration and motivation to you know, move towards those goals. So
thanks for the reminder on that, Jen. My daughter is going skiing with school next February. She said, I don't really know what skiing is, Dad. And it's like, oh my God, because we grew up, I mean, I'm a child of the 80s, so I grew up watching Ski Sunday on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah. So it was like, what do you mean you don't know what skiing is? And she's like, well, I don't know. I've never actually seen anyone skiing. I was like, well, no, why would you? Because you've just been watching Netflix on demand for your entire childhood. Let's watch some of that.
I think there's probably so many more questions I could have asked you. And I wondered if you would be up for doing like a joint blog with me individually. So I'd be really keen to like kind of ask a few more questions, especially you, Hannah. I think there's some stuff around your business growth that I really want to kind of dig into and I think people find really interesting. Jen, I'd love to kind of go into a little bit more the philosophy of your brand of yoga and some of that wonderful feedback that you got from people when you asked them that question. And Darren, I really, really want to know where you're going to go with the art gallery.
I really love doing this. I think it's such a good idea from your point of view. And I think if you can manage to follow it through throughout the years, it's going to be so fascinating watching how people
follow it. I'd love to follow it through. I feel really personally invested in all of your goals.
I just want to say thank you for everyone being so supportive and also so honest, because it is really helpful. Because sometimes, you know, when you look at yourself, you can't see the wood for the trees. And you're too close to yourself, aren't you? So it's sort of like you just need someone to go, actually shine the light on that. You know, you can have all of these ideas, but you kind of blinded as to which one to pick first, or you're messing about with a website and making it look fantastic when actually, like you said, no one actually cares about that and you're transfixed on that. To actually pare it down to what people need.
And that's been one of the kind of, one of the sort of sentences I've said in my head over the last sort of few months is good enough is good enough. Because I'm definitely prone, as the designer in me, I just want to keep tweaking. Can I make it a little bit better? And actually, I can lose days and days of time just in perfectionism. You've got to get out of your own way a lot of the time. And that's been a big challenge, I think.
I like one of the phrases that Hannah's used in the past. I think we said this was the title of her podcast episode, which is "You're Not That Important" or something like that. It's said in really good context. It sounds awful and brutal, just like that. But we are not in the grand scheme of things. There's a whole world out there, you know. And you know, we can get things wrong, I think was the point there. You can get things wrong, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No one's expecting perfect from you. And I love that. I don't know how much I believe in like perfectionism. Because I always think, well, when was the last time you did anything perfect? Like, nothing is perfect, really. But yeah, I think it's been really nice to like have these goals to hit the ground running in January, and not in like a hustly way, or, you know, I feel like I've had like a really nice restful January, but it's had a focus. So yeah. I still know what I want to do for the rest of the year, and I'm not like waking up now and suddenly deciding what I want this year to look like. I already knew as I was coming into January. So yeah, it's been really nice.
It's been wonderful to warm up your goals with you, and it's been such a wonderful space to have these conversations. I'm definitely going to get you back on the podcast again. Hannah is now on her third appearance. She's almost a co-host. We will have her back because I want to know how she's feeling just before the marathon, and then we're going to hear from her after the marathon.
When is the marathon, Hannah? Which one are you doing?
London. So
April. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I got a charity place. So I've reached my fundraising target, which is good. That was quite a lot. So now I've just got to run.
Go, Hannah.
Thank you.
There's a mental approach for marathons that I read about, which really changed things for me. I used to see a lot of people posting on social media about they do all the training, then they do the marathon, then they feel disappointed. And I read this article which talked about, actually, are you preparing for the day that you have, not the day that you're wishing for? And it really changed the way I thought about how I was going to think about how I retold my marathon day.
Try your best, I guess, to hold it loosely, right? Because if you don't do it, you've still done a marathon, which is amazing.
I've been quite emotional training this time because I can picture, I'm not picturing the finish and when I get my time or whatever. I picture the moments when I see my friends and family along the way. And even when I watch that on TikTok, I just sob. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's so emotional to me. And so that's the bit that I can't wait for. Whatever time it is, I'll be happy with it. You know, we'll have done London Marathon. That's a bucket list thing. It's just going to be an amazing day.
The one thing I love is, you know, your goal was about getting quicker. And if we took the goal without all the specifics, you've achieved that because you are now running quicker. So, you know, that is, you know, I love the fact that when you can then take a goal and strip it back a little bit and go, what have I achieved already? It's like, yeah, you've all smashed stuff. And, you know, just to be very clear, it's the 6th of February that we're recording this. So you're less than, what, 35 days into 2026. And look at all the stuff that you've achieved so far. I'm really excited for you all. Thank you so much for joining me on the call today. And thank you for being part of this wonderful, wonderful experiment.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Psychologically Speaking. Next week, we're going to explore imagination and how we can use this as a stimulus for our journey ahead. And I know that you're going to love the psychology, the science, and the impact behind the prompts. See you then.